So the talk I'll give today is part of a talk that I gave a couple of weeks ago at a retreat that some of us sat together. And I'm still working on it, so I'll also give this talk in a few weeks when we do the October retreat together. There's a part that I'm leaving out of it that I want to include, and hopefully it'll be included by that end of October retreat. So this is case number 225 from Entangling Vines. It goes like this. Once when Musō Saseki was lecturing, Kanzan Egan stepped forward and said, "The Garuda King covers the universe. Where will the heavenly dragon hide?" Musō immediately covered his head with his vestment and concealed himself under the lecture seat. Kanzan bowed. So this case comes with two notes, and I'll read them to you, and then we'll continue on. The first says the Garudas are mythological creatures from the Hindu pantheon. They, however, attended many of Shakyamuni Buddha's talks and were adopted. They were adopted by the early Buddhists as protectors of the Buddha's teachings. They were golden-winged birds who feasted on dragons and snakes. They were so big in size that they could split oceans in half by flapping their wings. And the second note says, the large training temple Musō Sasaki founded in Kyoto, Tenryuji, means Temple of the Heavenly Dragon. So this Garuda bird, the massive golden winged one, covers not only the earth, but universes fasting on dragons. Where then, Kanzan wonders, will the heavenly dragon Musō Saseki hide? So this koan is a distant echo of another koan. And that koan is an echo of a story from early Buddhist mythology. The present koan is between two equals in realization and insight. So the play between them is different than case number 44 from the Book of Equanimity, which I won't read to you. But again, the Garuda and dragon were featured. And finally, this koan is an echo of a more ancient story taking place between an arrogant trickster magician and Shakyamuni Buddha's cousin, Sariputra. So, two old dialogues and a short story from even earlier times involving dragons and Garuda. No one here, I suspect, has ever seen either. And of course, neither show up in your daily life or conversations. And Garuda and dragons probably don't even show up in your dreaming life. You might know of them from Tolkien and authors like him. Or maybe from reading books to your kids or grandchildren. But what relevance do they have today? What import do they have regarding Washington, D.C. and its goings on? What import do they have with climate change and its ongoing effects? What import do they have with political violence and hideous repercussions. Why take the time to talk of imaginary creatures with no immediate or real impact on our lives? And two, one might wonder about many of the stories and dialogues from medieval Japan, from ancient China, and even further back from India before it was even called that. So what? That Shakyamuni Buddha twirled a flower and Mahakashapa broke into a smile. So what that Chi Chu, no matter what he was asked, raised a finger? And so what that some guy built carts without wheels or axles? What relevance to the slaughters in Gaza? What relevance to the executions with no just cause in Russia? And what relevance to the deportations of US citizens for having brown skin? Garudas and dragons, what purpose? What relevance in your life? Musō Sasaki wrote a verse called Lamenting the Civil War. And he wrote this again in the 14th century, and it goes like this. So many times since antiquity, the human world has barely escaped destruction. Yet 10,000 fortunes and 1,000 misfortunes in one void, after all. Puppets squabbling back and forth across the stage. People brawling over a snail's horn, winning or losing. The ferocity of a snipe and a clam glaring at each other, only to arrive after death before the tribunal of Yama, the judge of hell. He then asks, when will the horses of war be turned loose on Flower Mountain? It would be best, he says, to throw their bits away east of the Buddha's palace. So in time, there is that. There is that in time. But also, below the obvious currents of our daily lives, below 9 to 5, below here to there and back again, below always in a hurry, anxious, worried, despairing, sadness, below our daily consciousness, below birth and death, there is another quieter, more subtle hidden current that runs in another direction. It is a branching current that flows below. It branches and flows below in the darkness, and it has been present since before the eons of emptiness. It is hidden only as It is hidden only as the air is hidden to a bird. It is hidden only as the water is to a fish. And this is where the Garuda and dragon, this is where the one finger of Chu Chi and the twirling flower and cracked face of Mahakashapa reside. Right here, below. Right now, below the ways we often pay attention and attend to. Right here, on the tip of your nose, and in the creak of your back, and in the fuzzy sound of the computer's volume. It is right here, hidden in the flutter of starlings spooked from the salmonberry brush. It is right here in the flash of red-winged blackbirds in autumn's return. Here below, below how we usually see, how we usually say or feel or think. W.S. Merwin, who's the translator of the book of Musō Sasaki's poems, wrote, "There is no place I know outside today. There is no place I know outside today, except for the unknown all around me. This unknown, this unknowing, this I don't know where I come from, I don't know where I'm going. I don't even know truly who I am, is the branching current. It is the branching stream that flows in the darkness." In another verse by Musō called Old Stream, he wrote, "Since before anyone remembers, it has been clear, shining like silver. Though the moonlight penetrates it and the wind ruffles it, no trace of either remains. Today," he says, "I would not dare to expound the secret of the stream, but I can tell you that the blue dragon is coiled there." Or maybe, in keeping with today's dialogue, we can say that the blue dragon, the heavenly dragon, is hidden there. So once, when Musō Sasaki was lecturing, Kanzan stepped forward and said, "The Garuda King covers the universe. Where will the heavenly dragon hide?" Musō immediately covered his head with his vestment and concealed himself under the lecture seat. "It is always right here, below, though it sees with your eyes. It is always right here, below, though it chews with your teeth. And it is always right here, and it walks in the direction your toes are pointing. And it is always right here, hidden in the echoes of words and stories about the real and about the unreal. It is right here, hidden in the echo of words and stories about Garudas and dragons."